Warning, the following message is only for listeners who contributed during KBOO's Fall Membership Drive. If you did not contribute to KBOO's Fall Membership Drive, please turn off your radio now.
On behalf of the entire KBOO community, we'd like to offer our deepest and sincerest thanks for your contribution to KBOO's Fall Membership Drive. Your support makes KBOO possible. Thank you.
If you didn't contribute during KBOO's Fall Membership Drive, you may now turn your radio back on.
It's not too late. Go to kboo.fm/give to make a contribution right now.
Then the next time this spot plays, you'll be able to listen.
You are listening to Art Focus on KBOO 90.7 FM Community Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Clem, and today our guests are artists Leslie Vigent, Catherine Spinella, and Russell Bourne of the newly opened Carnation Contemporary Gallery in North Portland at 8371 North Interstate Avenue, adjacent to Disjecta Contemporary Art Space. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here. It's really great to have a new gallery on the scene in Portland, and I'm really excited to talk with you about that and find out a little bit more about who you're made up of and how you are organized and kind of what we can expect to see coming up here. So maybe, Russell, what can you tell us about this gallery?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having us. We're really excited to be here. The beginnings of the gallery was really set up in a way where we all agreed that we needed a new space in Portland, one that was run by artists, for artists, and one that we didn't have to worry about the sales and making sales be the center of running the space. So this one is artist-ran, and we are funded by the member base of our group, and it makes us really free to have any kind of wild exhibition we want, and not have to worry about how it's going to be received necessarily.
So all the members pay dues then into the gallery?
Correct.
Okay, interesting. That's cool. Cool model.
I think, too, that we saw a need for more of that in Portland, more of that happening. There's been lots of artist-run spaces that support emerging and mid-career artists kind of come and go. And I think the artist-run model allows it to be something that is sustainable, that sticks around for a long time because of what Russell said, how we're not reliant on the sale of works to keep us afloat, that we can have more members and have rotating programming that gives a lot of agency to the artists and not have to worry about that monetary thing.
Yeah. And then as far as the artist exhibitions, then how do you organize that schedule, and is there a collective ideology behind it, or are you all operating kind of independently in your own practices? Or is there overlap between you? How many members total are part of Carnation?
14.
There's 14.
14.
Yeah,
14.
Yep.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you all meet then, if it wasn't all through an alumni hangout program?
Yeah, so I think it sort of coalesced out of some of us loosely kind of knowing each other. Actually, the first person that kind of started the little seed of reaching out to us was Carolyn Hopkins. She reached out to a few of us that are now members and got us excited about the prospect of running a gallery. And then we kind of formed out of reaching out to our own network. So, started with a few of us, like reaching out to Russell, a couple of other people, and then us inviting people from our own networks. Mm-hmm. And we actually reached out to a ton of artists to see if they were interested and wanted to take a chance, essentially, on us, because we were just at the beginning really figuring out what we wanted to do and wanted to bring people in to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So that's how that kind of formed.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So yeah. This is the very first exhibition, First Date, and you opened just earlier this month. So how long has the gallery been in the works? How long have you been talking and planning gathering members?
A year.
We started back in December.
Okay.
December 2017, we started gathering together at various bars and coffee shops, trying to really bring our minds together on a vision of what it would be and what kind of artists we'd want to show. And slowly that kind of built as we gathered artists to want to be a part of this. And the collective really kind of built over the course of the next 8 months before we finally found our space next to Disjecta.
That was actually one of my questions. What came first, the gallery or the space? Because that's another topic in Portland, too, as artists, the actual physical space that we can have access to. So the space at Disjecta came available. That's great. There are several little smaller galleries along the side there, including Photo Lucida and Is Flock.
And She Shreds.
Oh, that's Pulp a good.
And Deckel.
Great. Pulp and Deckel. Cool.
A lot of cool stuff there.
Yes. It's a really eclectic mix, too. That's really nice to have. Just a very accessible from the Max, we should say, just a block away from the Yellow Line Max. So, First Date, that first exhibition is a group show and features work from all 14 artists. Carnation Contemporary is comprised of 14 artists by the names of
Susan Merrill,
Matthew Bennett Lawrence,
Jesse Weitzel,
Carolyn Hopkins,
M. Acuff,
Russell Bourne,
John Witten,
Brittany Connolly,
Jeremy LeGrand,
Leslie Vigent,
Maria Lux,
Renee Couture,
Hannah Newman,
and Catherine Spinella.
It was a really fun show to walk through, I have to say. It was nice to see all the corners, like everyone's little pocket of the mind together, and they were really fun. So you're all artists, and you all kind of have like very different practices. So I don't know, Leslie, do you want to talk a little bit about the piece that you have in the show?
Sure. Yeah, the piece that I have in the show is a digital print on billboard material that I then cut out and framed, and it's a series from my Second Sky series, which was produced earlier this spring when my friend and I that I was collaborating with, he lived in Florida, I lived in Portland, and we took pictures facing east and west respectively at the same time twice a day at my sunset time and his sunset time. So the piece is kind of like a digital collage of his sky, my sky, and then a gradient of our colors put together. And it's, I've been using billboard material for a few years now, but I just love the print quality of it. It's kind of granular, and I got a really good picture of Jesse's husband. His face is like 6 inches just from the frame.
Really?
And a lot of people were like, wait, is there a message? Like, I think it has this like magic eye 90s throwback to the like the way that it's printed. People always get super close.
It is very textured and hypnotic when you get up close. It looks very ridged.
And I love that because I think when we think about the sky, it's so big, and you spend that time staring at it from such a vast distance, and then to have the print where you spend this time staring at it from, like, 3 inches, I think is kind of entertaining, if nothing else.
Yeah. And then, Catherine, what about your piece in the show?
Yeah, so I have two smaller works in the show. I have a print that's framed and on the wall. It's a mono print combining some digital imagery that's then ran through a flatbed press with some mono-printed areas, and then a sculpture work that is next to it and kind of having a conversation with the print. So the sculpture is this stack of recycled material that has been cast. So there's small little units of this recycled packaging material, and it's stacked into this little tiny like monument.
It's
like a Pisa-esque. It's kind of like leaning and a little off-kilter, and it's actually called a small monument. And so a lot of the works in the digital photograph and in the sculpture are like recycled material. The print has this wrapping paper in it. And
that's a good description.
Yeah,
great.
But yeah, a lot of recycled material and this repurposing and like elevating of these materials into these art objects.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
You were saying these things, and I was just, like, nodding, like, yes, yes. And I feel like you said a lot of words that made me think about when I was thinking about coming on board and thinking, like, what does it mean to join an artist run space, and, like, mm-hmm. what does it mean to pay dues as an artist, and uh-huh. really thinking about, like, who are these people? Because I knew a couple people yeah. from the crew, but not, I mean, obviously now anymore. I know so many more. Mm-hmm. And I think that something that I saw across the board when I was just, like, scouting out everybody's website was there's a lot of digital, mm-hmm. there's a lot of material exploration, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of experimental work, some that borders on installation and mm-hmm. some that is using traditional materials but in a really weird way. I think when we think about Jesse's work, that's a good mm-hmm. example of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that Carnation to me was so exciting because I think that these are artists that have a lot to say and are want to take risks, but to Russell's earlier point, like, it's not necessarily work that's sellable, mm-hmm. although some of it certainly is, and almost all of it can be in some way.
Yeah.
But I think that that was the thing that was the most exciting to me, is that this is a group of, like, bandit risk takers mm-hmm. that are willing to just do some really weird stuff and see what happens, and that, I mean, the fact that we've created a space mm-hmm. that's open to that yeah. experimentation mm-hmm. is... Yeah. really exciting.
That is exciting
to me. You were just saying all these terms, and I was like,
yeah.
and it just
yeah.
was, I was thinking about the threads between different sure. artists. And
I think there's, yeah. It was really great seeing the first group exhibition come together and see all a work by all the members come together in the space and all the connections between the works, mm-hmm. because we definitely, like, reached out to a lot of people. We like their work. It's very differing types of practices, and it was nice to see these really strong connections mm-hmm. between the different pieces. Those themes that you were talking about, I think there's a lot of connection to the environment as mm-hmm. well, which is a popular theme in the Northwest or in the region, so I think we see a lot of that in the work as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was thinking a lot about how all the pieces do link together in a way that is, like, you have worked together before and you are thinking through the same processes mm-hmm. and the same types of, you know, the material exploration and the commentary, the social commentary to a point, and like pop culture a little bit. It was, like, very mm-hmm. funny in a really a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you telling us that you did not know what the other artists in the group were contributing to the exhibition? So it was, like, a blind date.
Correct.
It was
yeah.
a blind first date.
It was a blind first date.
Yeah. It's
a real Tinder date. Yeah. Seeing your profile, but I really know what you're going to yeah. be like in person.
May or may not have stalked your yep. website extensively.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. But we swiped right on everyone's portfolio already, so we knew where we needed to. Mostly just seeing how all the great work was going to live together yeah. and speak to each other was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting because the curatorial part of running a space, like an artist-run space, and doing a group show specifically can be really challenging when the practices are so varied.
Mm-hmm.
So... And now, how are the rest of the shows coming to be? How are they? Are any of you curators? Is there any direction?
I don't know that any of us are distinctly curators mm-hmm. at the moment, but I do think that a lot of us want to have a hand in that in the future, and that's part of why we are members in the space and working with the collective is that. We want to promote other people's work and curate shows even outside of the member base
yeah.
and bring them into the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally am pretty excited about doing that. I think that's something that will take place more in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
For the first round of shows, it's mainly focused on solo shows from the members. We just recently finished an open call for proposals, so we will have a group show this winter. That we're pretty excited about. And I think, too, for the second round, we want to be able to, like, open up some of the months for curation and more open calls mm-hmm. and be able to, like, engage the community outside of our member mm-hmm. base as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we have lots of really great solo shows from our members coming up. And the members have the opportunity to decide what they want to do mm-hmm. their month.
Mm-hmm.
Some... people are, for this first round, deciding to have a group exhibition for their particular month.
Okay.
But, I think for the most part, a lot of us are having solo shows throughout this first cycle. And then there's going to be a group exhibition this winter that we just announced to them. And then John Witten's also going to have a group exhibition called Thunderstruck. I believe that's in May. It's much later in 2019. So that'll be another group exhibition that we have.
But yeah, the hope is that each artist gets a complete agency over their month to exhibit their work and bring in people that they want to be in conversation with in their solo exhibition or and really own that and be their own curator.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM. I'm Amanda Clem, and for those of you just joining us, we have artists Russell Bourne, Catherine Spinella, and Leslie Vigent in the studio talking with me about the new artist-run gallery, Carnation Contemporary, in North Portland.
So there's 14 members. Mm-hmm. There's a core group of people that are kind of running the business side of it.
Yeah.
So there's we're broken up into teams.
Yeah.
Because you'd asked about, like, is there a curator? But there's no, but there's, like, a curatorial team, basically, like, an exhibitions team.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So, like, nobody has to carry all of the load. Like, it's broken up between six or seven people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So about half of the group
are
making
the group.
The, like,
are administratively running the ship.
We have our, like, different kind of roles that we're focusing on. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it took us a while to kind of figure that out, like giving specific roles to each person so we have a little more agency. Mm-hmm. Like Leslie is helping to do the fundraising coordination, so kind of running with that, that's her skills and expertise and utilizing
somehow.
That. So kind of seeing what people are really good at and using their skills to
and
help
Catherine,
the gallery.
Catherine runs all the social media and outreach for that.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas Jeremy LeGrand, he's more of like our finance guru, being sure that bills are paid and facilities are kept up. And then Brittany Connolly also, she is running events.
She's a real ideas generator.
Mm-hmm. And you, Russell?
And I do the, I run or manage the branding and the website and any kind of printed materials we need.
That's great. Beautiful stuff.
And
who's staffing it during the gallery hours?
We are.
Right. We all share that,
we
too.
We all share that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
Gallery babysitting.
Yeah. You babysit.
Yeah.
And then outside of the exhibitions, we are talking about ways to activate the space. So, like, if you want to have a lecture or if you have a friend in town that you think would be a great lecture or somebody that you want to have come curate different. We have access to part of the Distecta space as well, which is really exciting. And we're thinking about accessing that for some of the kind of donor events and starting to build up, like, our core Carnation Club. The group show that Catherine was talking about in December is non, it's not members.
Okay.
Outsiders that we had a call.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, we want to try to balance out, like, supporting our core members and also engaging with the art community with different points across the year.
Yeah. And these are both really great goals, and it's, it does seem like a lot to schedule. So are they monthly exhibitions? And how are you planning the schedule so far out, too? Are you meeting all 14 of you together to decide these schedules? And do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we kind of had a backyard party one day, and we're out there, we're like, well, who wants to show first? Can anybody? You know, like, who can show?
Who's ready?
And Susan and I were like, we can do it. Yeah. And now I'm like, God, I was like this. So there was kind of like this initial, like, how soon can you show your work?
Okay.
And then
practical.
Yeah, like, very practically, like, who has work ready or, like, who has an idea ready? At that point, that was, at this point, like, maybe 4 months ago from today. So there was obviously enough time, but that was kind of, like, the initial, and then we rolled out a schedule from there. So we have the next 14 months planned.
Planned and ready to go.
Yeah, and on lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all really appreciate that you and Susan volunteered to go first. We're very excited about it.
That's great. Actually, who is coming up next?
Susan Merle.
Yeah.
She's going to have her opening on October 6th.
Yep. Okay. It's called Absent Presence. I took some notes from the press release. And it's also available on our website. But she is, I think, mostly a painter. Mm-hmm. She's a professor at Eastern Oregon University. And she's really looking at humanity and the relationships between humanity and the landscape. A lot of her images are kind of microscopic. They're very organic, very saturated. Like, you could really fall into or out of them. She's really interested in experiencing presence through absence, and in kind of like the gray space between positive and negative space. So I think that her paintings are really... I'm making this like swirling motion with my hands. They're really organic and beautiful, and I think that they can seem almost cosmic. Yeah. In my, I mean, she didn't say the word cosmic. I did, so I hope, Susan, that you're okay with the use of the word cosmic.
And are there going to be artists? Are they going to give artist talks? Is Susan going to give a talk?
She's at the Liberty. I mean, like, it's up. I don't know that she is, but I think she has the opportunity to do that. Yeah,
that's something we've been talking about a little bit. Reaching out to the member base and kind of seeing who's interested in doing that, having like a gallery talk or some other type of like slideshow talk in another space. That's something that we would like to do.
Cool.
And
And then when's your show, Leslie?
Woo! November 1st, Saturday. So right, that's our thing, Saturday.
First Saturday.
I think it's November 3rd is the first Saturday. Called Splash Time. It's really, I'm really thinking about how in society we pressure young girls to be women and like try to hypersexualize them, and then as women we're always trying to like be younger, and it's like wrinkle cream, and like maybe even trying to, I don't know, regain like a lost innocence, or there's baby talk, and there's all of these weird, you know, dynamics happen in relationships. So the work is really investigating like that juxtaposition of like being young and being pressured to be old, and then being old and being pressured to be young, and like what is like the ultimate age, like why do we think that teenagers are like the peak of sexuality when that's so awkward? And yeah, so I'm using a lot of different themes of my childhood and then what's very contemporary right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you work in painting and also installation, video installation.
It's going to be a lot of digital prints. There's, if I can figure it out, which I think I will, going to be a 4-foot lollipop. Yeah, I just received a grant, which I'm really excited about, to support the project. Thanks. So thank you, RAC.
Yes.
Wonderful. So, we'll just, it's going to be installation and digital prints mostly. I have some paintings, but as the work's been evolving, I'm like, maybe I won't even show the paintings.
Maybe
anymore.
Not. So, you've got a whole month left to decide.
Yeah, a whole month and a whole studio full of work. So we'll see.
There's a lot to choose from. Yeah. Russell, tell us about your work.
My piece at the first date was a piece I'd been working on for some different exhibitions, and so this was a part of this larger installation I did. But it was called FPO Stool, stands for placement only. And a lot of the materials I use in my practice generally are a lot of very simple, subdued materials of paper or wood or cardboard or like simple, subdued things to then elevate the object they're made of. So these two pieces, it was a stool made of cardboard, down to every detail of the joinery of a stool, and also then a wireframe, like you'd see in a publishing layout, wireframe about 6 feet by 4 feet. What was it? Maple, made of maple. Sorry, this frame. And the pieces were about, you know, just these common materials being stand-ins for art, and thinking a lot about how these analog parts and pieces go into building our digital experience of life, and how so much of our social media life or internet life is kind of stand-ins for what we're really doing. Anyway, much of the pieces... from the greater exhibition kind of illustrated that more than just these two pieces, but it's what I could fit.
Together, it works.
Yeah.
Really complementary together. But that's really, the humor that surrounds the show is, like, really great, and I really enjoyed it. Okay, let's talk a little bit, to awkwardly jump to funding, and Leslie got a grant. That's awesome for your show. So you're all operating as individual artists, applying for grants. And where do you go to find out about those grants? And are there any things that I mean, as a gallery, can you apply to any? And as a gallery, can you get support like this?
I think, so we currently are not a nonprofit, so I don't believe we can apply for a lot of the grants that are in Portland, but a lot of our artists that are part of the member gallery have received grants from Oregon granting bodies before and continue to apply and do so. Mm-hmm. So we kind of encourage that. Having a space to, you know, a show that you have later in the year is really important for applying for these grants. So that's, I think, something that will really benefit everyone that's part of the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
I know Susan received a grant from the Oregon Arts Commission and the Ford Family Foundation that's related to this work that she's creating. And then you got a grant from RAC. And so I think that we're taking advantage of those sources here.
Yeah, and then as a collective, I mean, we initially did a Kickstarter, which was great, and we had some really rad gifts that went out.
Yes.
We exist, as Russell said earlier, on the member fees, so we have, like, rent, right? So we, like we know we can exist, so we have rent, we have the bar figured out, we have the lights on, so that's all good. We do have a donor system set up online where you can click to donate now. We are also setting up the Carnation Club, which is a tiered membership for general public. And there are, you know, you can do like a monthly payment, so it's super affordable. I always justify things where I'm like, well, if I'd pay $5 for a latte, or like if I'd pay $9 for a cocktail.
Yeah.
So it's really structured for the Portland income base, and there's a tier specifically for artists and students, because that's a lot of our audience and a lot of our friends and peers, and then it goes all the way up to give us as much money as you want. We're launching that in the next month, like the proper different levels, but we'll be doing different events. We're gonna have a karaoke party, Carnation Club karaoke party. And we'll be having different dinners and lectures with artists and kind of like behind the scenes things, previews to the shows with cocktails. So there are different things, like different perks that you get, ranging from like picking a karaoke song to like a token from each artist. And then I'm trying to think what else for donors. We can apply. There are some grants that we can apply to in the future. I think the Precipice Fund from PICA is something that we'll be eligible for. Yeah, and I think that potentially the Professional Development Grant from RAC, I think that that also supports organizations. Yeah. So those are things that we'll be looking into, you know, further. OAC likely will be eligible for. So,
And I think with that funding from donors or grants, too, would just help us expand our programming and what we're doing. We're very much interested in the location of the gallery at Distracta, but how we can include like the greater region and having exhibitions at like satellite exhibitions in other spaces. And I think the funding would help us do things like that, invite curators to curate exhibitions in the space and more things.
Give help elevate a voice of underrepresented people in the art world in Portland, in the Pacific Northwest. Like, that's a really good point. Like, what would we do with that money if you gave us money?
If you give us money. You guys have a plan to serve it, and I love it. Well, thank you. Tell us more about where we can find out information about upcoming programs and exhibitions for Carnation Contemporary.
So you can go to carnationcontemporary.com. And there's a list for About Us. And if you scroll down to the bottom, there's a sign up for our newsletter. We'll not inundate you too often, just maybe once or twice a month to give you updates on coming events.
Great. And on social media?
Yeah, our Instagram is at Carnation Contemporary. I believe we have a Twitter also, at
Twitter.
Carnation Contemporary.
And Facebook.
And Facebook.
And Facebook, at Carnation Contemporary.
It's very easy.
Pick your poison.
Don't forget.
And artists later on can find out about other opportunities that you also have available for group calls or things like that. That'll be through your website.
And on our Instagram.
And your Instagram. So you can follow along. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. This was
Thanks
so fun.
Thank you, Amanda.
Everybody, this is the last weekend coming up to see First Date, the very first group exhibition at Carnation Contemporary.
You have been listening to an interview with artists Russell Bourne, Catherine Spinella, and Leslie Vigent of Carnation Contemporary. I'm Amanda Clem, and this is Art Focus on KBOO 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Here and There, audio postcards from Earth on Tuesday, October 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. at OMSI in Portland.
Here and There, audio postcards from Earth is an all-ages and ability-inclusive event featuring nature sounds and field recordings in immersive surround sound from scientists and artists local and abroad from some of the world's most remote locations.
Listen to these places while sitting under the shifting stars from that time and place in nature's memory. Again, that's Here and There, audio postcards from Earth on Tuesday, October 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. at OMSI, 1945 Southeast Water Avenue, Portland.
More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. In celebration of our 50th anniversary, KBOO is teaming up with the Mississippi Records Music and Film Series. KBOO will be hosting Killer of Sheep on Wednesday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Filmed in Watts in 1975, Killer of Sheep follows a working man in a moment of existential crisis, trying to make ends meet at a job he finds repugnant, and trying to connect with his family and community. The Library of Congress declared Killer of Sheep a national treasure and one of the first 50 films on the National Film Registry. Again, that's Killer of Sheep on Wednesday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.